stand on your square. We on the earn, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's earning or a new point, calling with your group, point prepared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to my mothers, of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, breaking up the sleeper. Who we been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking like.
Collective mind.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yo, yo, that's gonna give me hype right there, y'all. This is Brother Kev in the building.
This your baby girl, Rigel.
How y'all living? It's Mufasa Rob. What's up, Hotep?
That's right, and we are Collective Minds Radio. Here at Collective Minds, you ain't got to think like us, but you got to think. I just threw that in there, y'all. But, what's going on? What is the deal? We are back for another week. Collective Minds Radio, this is not a spectator sport. We are doing a recap of the midterm elections. Give us a call, y'all. Give us y'all thoughts. Did y'all vote? Did you not vote? Why or why not? The number is 929-477-1697. But, of course, before we get started, my sister, Rigel Starr, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
My week was great. Thank the Lord, as always. And no announcements. But I did have a great week, though.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa, how was your week, and any announcements for the family?
Week was all spectacular, blacktastic. You know, I enjoyed myself as well. You know, I got a couple extra days off from the old plantation, the trap house. The corporate world, however you want to call, whatever you want to call it. So I'm appreciating that.
It is what it is.
And, you know, I don't really have any major announcements myself. I will say shout out to my local minister here at St. Louis, Missouri. And that's at Mosque 28. The minister, Donald Muhammad, gave a fantastic lecture today. Some of it tying in with what we're speaking on today. Really, his main message was tying in on the voting process and election. So it was a wonderful lecture that he put down. So I'm still full off of that.
All right, indeed. Now I'm interested in. Can you share some of the stuff he was saying, or what did he share with the with the people as far as voting and the election process?
Yeah, one of the things is, well, you already know how, you know, we talked about where we at, where our stance is for voting. One thing I'll share with y'all, I got to share this one. He told the story about Claire McCaskill. For those who don't know, that was a U.S. senator who just got voted out against the midterm election. He said that they had a black leadership meeting at her house, and he was invited. You know, like I said, amongst the other black leaders in the state, he was invited there. But he said Claire was there serving barbecue and watermelon, y'all.
Oh, wow. Now, wait a minute.
Barbecue and watermelon.
Repeat that. Oh.
Claire served up barbecue and watermelon at this meeting. And.
Okay, now. Oh, okay.
And she was basically telling them, in the course of their talk, that y'all ain't got no other choice but to vote for me.
Oh.
And he said, yeah, and a lot of these black leaders who was there begging for money and help. You know what I'm saying?
It is
so
what it is.
How shameful that was.
Mm.
Yeah, how very shameful that was.
You just broke some news there, brother. You just broke some news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
now,
he put it on out there today.
Yeah, oh, that is amazing. Now, let's be clear. I like barbecue and watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't size me up and invite me to your
it
house.
It is what
that's
it is.
Coming from Claire McCaskill, you're going to, like, who approved this menu?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who approved this? But, oh, man, that is interesting, that brother.
Uh-huh. He was also just saying how he was glad that Claire didn't win because, you know, maybe some of these black Negro leaders and some of the people will, you know, pop on off of that nipple there.
Yeah.
Quit expecting Claire to fix the problems in the black community because
that's
we still haven't sat down and discussed our black agenda. And
that's
that black
right.
agenda has not been forced upon these people that's asking for our vote.
That's
at some
right.
point,
exactly.
we're going to have to start letting them know, look, you got to give us something for our vote. You want our
right.
vote? Here is our black agenda, and this is what we want. You don't give us what we want,
Thanks.
You can't get our vote. So, you know,
yep.
I'll go deeper into that at another time, because that would be a good topic for another show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, we go talk about that later as far as the black agenda and all that. So, yeah, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. I'm Brother Kev. We got Sister Rising Star, our Brother Mufasa Ra. We just doing a midterm election recap. We just want to get, you know, your overall thoughts. What do you think about moving forward? Did your amendments or propositions get passed? Did you who you voted for win? Or did you even vote at all? So give us a call. Let us know what you think. The number is 929-477-1697. But, yeah, Brother Mufasa, you just broke in some groundbreaking news there, because I kind of figured that would be how – or that is how they have been playing the black vote
mm-hmm.
for a long time. So this past
mm-hmm.
week, I thought the conversation that I was seeing between people was a healthy conversation, right? Because within the black community, you know, people was deciding whether you should vote or whether you should not vote. It was a lot of not voting shaming for people who were saying they don't vote. People was calling them stupid and why wouldn't you vote and talking about the ancestors died and you need to exercise your right and this and that. So there's a lot of conversation going back and forth. And me
mm-hmm.
personally, I thought that was healthy because I feel like as far as black people, we have been participating in this voting process for a long time. But as a group, we don't have much to show for it because, again,
mm-hmm.
like you stated before, we haven't presented a black agenda, you know, to the Democrats. It's like since I've been born, we've just been handing our votes to the Democrats just willy-nilly, you know what I'm saying? And I'm guilty, too, because that's the way I was brought up. I just thought, hey, the Republicans are racist, and I'm going to just go with the Democrats. But as I've evolved and got older, I've understand that really, you know, Democrat and liberal – Democrat and Republican or liberal and conservative, those are just terms, but we still dealing with the same mindset. And like Malcolm X said, you know, you're dealing with a wolf and a fox. You dig what I'm saying? And he talked about how the white liberals are the foxes because they real slick and sly, and they may stab you in the back, but they don't have a smile with it. You dig what I'm saying? Where the conservatives just come out like wolves and let you know where they stand, and that's just what it is. So, you know, as I've got older and tried to educate myself on the process and what we're dealing with, it's like we have to at some point present a black agenda. And like I talked about before, they had the benign.
It is what it is.
And I think in the Nixon administration, where benign neglect was just basically – we will not say the word black or promise anything specifically to black people. We'll use other terms like minority, people of color, poor people, urban. You know, all these terms that kind of get around doing something specifically for black people. And as we know, affirmative action, who's the biggest beneficiary of affirmative action? White women. You dig what I'm saying? So a lot of people thought black people was going to benefit from affirmative action, but no. You got white women, you got gay men, these are now minorities, you got disabled people, you got people who are left-handed, all these other groups get in front of black people and we get left behind. So, you know, I think the conversation that we had this week was very important. I think it was healthy, and I think it shows the level of quote-unquote wokeness or the awakening of the black constituents and the black base, because we need a black agenda that we can present to these folks and say, look, this is what we need, and this is what you're going to, if you don't provide us these things or at least promise these things, you're not going to get our vote. So I'm going to leave that right there for now.
Yeah, because let me add this to you real quick, Brother Kev.
Go ahead, brother.
The reason I said earlier about us doing a different show on it is because I am in the process of writing up some stuff myself, and I'm going to need more time than, you know, today to go over that stuff with you. Like, you know, today we're talking about the recap of, you know, the election results, and I don't want to take away from it to go into this black agenda, but I'm writing some stuff up right now, brother, that I would love to chop it up with you on the whole show, definitely dealing strictly about it.
Okay, yes indeed, yes indeed, because what I do know is coming up in the spring, there's some more elections that'll be coming up. I don't think, it may be not a lot of national things, but I know here locally in St. Louis and in Missouri, you know, there's some important things going on this spring, and then that'll take us back through November. And then also we got 2020 coming up, which that's why I'm saying I think the conversation that was had this week in terms of the election is going to be pivotal, and that should really springboard black people for the elections in 2020, because those are big national elections where, like you say, brother, we can present a black agenda and put some on the table. You dig what I'm saying?
So, you're hearing some background noise.
I'm not hearing nothing. You hearing some rising?
No, just a little bit. Sounds like somebody's rolling dice.
Okay, okay.
There
sounds
we
like
go.
Somebody rolling dice. Somebody back
there. There we go. Whatever happened, this is much better.
Yeah. But, so just a recap. I'm going to just get y'all thoughts. I guess we could start with the national elections. There was a lot of big races. As far as governor, gubernatorial races, as they say, that was going on around the country. And we saw a lot of, you know, high-profile celebrities. They had Oprah knocking on doors and campaigning. So we had the sister Stacey Abrams was running for governor in Georgia. Now, the race was close, so I think they're in the process of doing a recount. And then we had the brother that was running, Andrew Gillum, was running for governor of Florida. And he had originally conceded and gave the race to DeSantis, or whatever the guy he was running against, who was a Republican. He had originally conceded. But as of recently, I believe this past weekend, maybe Thursday or Friday, he actually withdrew his conceit. And now they're doing a recount there as well. So it's looking like with these two big governor races that they're in the process of doing a recount based on how close the race was. And so it's a lot of things going on as far as people stealing votes. They got people withholding votes, big trucks of votes that still haven't been counted. So I don't know. You know, I just want to know what are y'all overall thoughts as far as those national elections. And then there was also one in Texas with this guy Beto, who ended up losing to Ted Cruz for a Senate seat. So as it stands today, the Democrats have taken over the House of Representatives, and the Republicans maintain control of the House. So, do y'all got any thoughts overall just on those, you know, the governor races with the sister and a brother in Georgia and Florida, and also the Senate and the House? Any thoughts or anything y'all want to share?
Right, you got something you want me to
do? Oh, no, I'm sorry. My bad.
You
and
go
then
ahead.
Also here in Missouri. Yeah, my bad. Also here in Missouri, Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat who we just spoke about, she lost her receipt in the U.S. Senate to Josh Hawley. I just wanted to put that out there. But anything y'all want to say or share, the floor is y'all's.
All right. I'll start off by saying, as you know, because we touched off into a little bit of this last week, me personally, I don't dig too deep into big government, like national stuff, because in my opinion, until we have a black agenda, nothing on the national level is going to fully affect me. So I look at it, but I really don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on. Even like, you know, as far as our president, you know, I look at him and says he's just entertaining to me. You know, I don't really pay a lot of attention into the stuff he's doing. It's out of my control, basically. I will say when it comes to Claire McCaskill losing to that Hawley guy, apparently he is like a baby Trump. So
right. That's what they say.
As far as us here in Missouri, you know, if you don't like Trump, then probably you're not going to like him. So if you got issues with Trump's policy, then you're probably going to have issues with this guy's policy. That's pretty much all I'm going to say on the national level. Because like I said, for me, a lot of that stuff is out of my control. I look at them as, you know, Democrat, Republican, it's all the same. They're just people up there, you know, making laws, changing laws, doing what they do to support an agenda that I have no control of.
There you go. And did you have something you want to add on, Roger?
No, not at this time. I don't.
Okay. And like Dr. Anderson, Dr. Claude Anderson has told us, you know what I'm saying, we have to first build the institutions in our community to build the economic base. And then after you do that, then you buy the politicians, right, to bid in your favor, and then you go vote. See, for a long time, I think black people have been doing it backwards. We've been voting and just hoping and wishing that these people go do something for us. But then when they get in office, it's like, hey, who are y'all? We don't know y'all. We over here doing this. You know what I'm saying? 'Cause y'all ain't putting no money on our campaign, so on and so forth. So I think we got to understand, politics is a dirty game.
Mm-hmm.
Period, point blank. Politics is a dirty game, and you have to be willing to play that game. You got to be willing to grease some palms and put up money to support these particular candidates, you know, to support these particular candidates. And that's what we're going to have to understand. There's really no friends in politics. It's one of those things like, what have you done for me? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be one of those people where we always got to take the moral high road. No, we got to put people in there that's going to do the bidding for us, just like other groups do. You know, you got the LGBTQ, or however you, LGBTQ, T, whatever community. They put money on the books and they get actually legislative and things passed specifically for them. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The Hispanics do the same thing. The Jewish community do the same thing. All these groups are not scared to ask for a specific agenda and get some legislative policies passed that affect specifically them. And that's what we got to get to as a people. We got to understand the game. And then, like I say, because I think if we play the game, it can work for us. You know what I'm saying? It's just up until this point, we have just been just voting kind of blindly, and like I say, just been kind of hoping and wishing. But if we
we've been doing a lot of things blindly.
That is true. That is true. But if we play the game correctly, we can, you know, I think we can get some things out of the deal. Like, but we got to keep in mind, it is a dirty game, and there's rules and things that that we would have to go by in order to get these things passed. And we will get to the call line here in a second. I just want to give, you know, give our host time to respond or add anything to the conversation there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not on like I said, not on the national level. Now, when it comes down to the local issues, that I paid a little bit more attention to.
Right,
and that
right.
Feedback, that feedback is back again too, y'all. Just so y'all know, I can hear it on my end.
Is it feedback coming from my? Can you hear it? Or like, is it echoing or what type of feedback?
No, it's just like static. There we go.
Oh, okay. It's good.
Yeah, it's good now.
Okay, right. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, brother, because all politics is local. You dig what I'm saying? All politics is local, and that's where it starts. Because, like, when you get to a national level, it starts to get a little more corrupt. You start to deal with, you know, big lobbyists, big corporations.
Right.
You got these big PACs, political action committees, and all these things. So when it gets to a national level, it really starts to get a lot more dirty and a lot more political. You know what I'm saying? We've seen
it is what it is.
Get murdered, get assassinated. You dig what I'm saying? So that's why I keep stressing that politics is a dirty game. Even mayors and governors, we've seen, you know, they can be sabotaged or things like that. So we got to keep in mind, once again, that politics is a dirty game. You dig what I'm saying? And it's not for the weak, and there's a lot of things that go on. And a lot of times we, you know, because politicians are supposed to be for the people. That's the perception. But from what I've seen in my perception, a lot of these politicians are out for themselves, especially the black people that the Democrats handpick to do their bidding, and they're not for the people at large. Because we've seen a lot of black politicians in some high places, including president, that have not done anything specifically for black people. If, according to the numbers, our communities are the most need and need the most help. You see what I'm saying? But there's been nothing on the table for our communities, being that, you know, the shape that we in when we need the most help. If that's what society is about, if society is about helping the people who need the most help, it seems like black people should be on the front of that list, considering our unique history in America like no other. You see what I'm saying? We have a very unique history as the descendants of people who were slaves. You dig what I'm saying? That history is, and then you got to talk about Jim Crow, segregation, all these type of things that have affected us, the redlining, the gentrification, all these things and policies that have affected us as a group, where we were not able to build wealth and build our own economic base, not to mention how the government sabotaged our families, you know, drugs in our community, over police, and all these type of things. So in order to rectify that situation, we need specific things for black people. And
that's
I don't
true.
Think these black politicians, or, you know, people who present these ideas, they should not be scared to say black. Or we,
so
you know, we need them specifically for us. Yeah.
So basically, brother, when it comes to this midterm election, anything that the things that were voted on, or the people who won the elections on the national level, with that, you don't see it affecting black people as a whole as well. You don't see that trickling down and affecting us in no type of way. So you just like me, you pretty much not paying it too much attention.
Right, right. There you go. Because I'm going to say this, and then we're going to go to the call lines. Colleges, be patient. We're doing a midterm recap. The number is 929-477-1697. And, yes, brother, I agree. I'm not – the national, not really paying too much attention to, because, like I said, when you have – you got Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum. Now, these are two black people, so this is no disrespect to them. But my thing is I went on both of their pages and campaigns, and I saw nothing, nothing specifically for black people. I saw things where they were talking about LGBTQ. I saw immigration. Those were their two biggest platforms they were running on, and these are black people. You see what I'm saying? No disrespect to them or what they got going on, but it's like, no, it's time out for that. We have to not be afraid to speak up for the most vulnerable people in our society at this point, which is black people. So, no, I don't
point,
think I would think
at all points.
At all points, right, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. But so my thing is, just because it's a black face, that doesn't mean that they're really trying to help or do something for black people. It's just a black face, which, okay, it looks good. Like Obama, for instance, the family looked good, beautiful wife, beautiful kids, but Obama never specifically addressed black people in a manner where he could try to put, you know, some type of legislation, you know what I'm saying, for the black community. He did stuff for Hispanics and immigration with the DACA thing. He did something for homosexuals and the LGBTQ community. So it's like it's like you're leaving us out, even though it's a black face and it looks good, but what are these people doing for black people here in America? So
Before you go to the call, because I wanted to ask you about the two things that was big on that local level for me was the minimum wage, the Proposition B, and the legalized marijuana. You know, with that Proposition B, the minimum wage workers in Missouri would get the first of the raises that would increase the current from $7.85 hourly wage to 12 by 2023. So that was approved,
right, and I did vote
on that one. So
yes,
what are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about that affecting you or our community?
I think that's a good thing, but see, my thing is, as far as it specifically affecting black people, I'm not sure about that, because we got to keep in mind the black unemployment rate is two times higher than that of white unemployment. So when you look at these jobs that are being filled, you know, a lot of these jobs are going to go to white people first, you know, if you want to look at it like that. But I think that's a good thing. Yes, I think minimum wage should be raised. I think it should have been raised a long time ago. And I think it will help in some respect, but it's kind of a trickle-down thing, you know what I'm saying,
right?
Because you got to fulfill the job. So with these jobs, a lot of times they're going to be filled by others first, and then we'll get what's left over, you know.
Well, I know for me, that one pulled me out there, because, like, when I'm in the, I'm not going to say the hood, but when I'm in the neighborhood, when I'm in my local Family Dollar or my local grocery store, you know, my local gas station, and I do see people that look like me working for these low wages. I think of the young single black woman that's trying to, you know, raise her kids on $7-$8 an hour. And
that's right.
I don't know. I mean, I have to be honest with you, I really don't see how they can afford. If you're a single person, even if you're a couple, to be earning that type of a wage with the cost of living as high as it is, I don't see how these families can make it. You got to pay for daycare. You have to pay for your kids' clothing. You got to pay for food. You got to pay for your rent, your utilities, loss of business. You got a car note. You know, and I don't see how these parents could could afford that with the cost of living steadily increasing, but the cost of a minimum wage not increasing. So for me, that was
right.
really important for me to see that get passed, because like I say, when I'm at the little local grocery store or shop and I see young people that look like me, you know, I want to see them at least be able to, you know, have somewhat of a decent form of life, you know what I'm saying? And
right,
if it's,
that's
you know,
right,
whatever little, whatever little bit helps. If it's just 50 cents, 60 cents right now, that helps. But to go from 7.85 to 12 something, I think it's very helpful. And I'll ask this real quick, too, is I feel that that will be the first step also in boosting up other salaries for middle class.
Right.
You know,
agreed.
For middle class citizens. So,
yeah, I agree, bro.
That's how I felt about that one.
Yeah, and I think that was.
I think it's even shameful that we even have to even vote for such a thing. You know, I think that's just ridiculous in itself, but that just really speaks volumes to the type of world that we're living in, that we don't have enough compassion for people that we would even have to vote for such a thing. That's terrible
right.
to me. So
and
we
remember,
go to the call lines.
Yeah, let's go to call lines.
Okay. Let's go to area code 314-677. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or comment?
How are you guys doing, man?
Oh, doing well.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. How you doing?
Down here in Baton Rouge, where it's so red that when it rains, red dye number 40.
Oh, man. Yes, sir.
You're Republican,
but food prices are cheaper. Gasoline is about $2.10 a gallon.
Oh,
they don't tax retirement income in Louisiana. And if you own a home, about $85,000 to $100,000 of the first $85,000 to $100,000 of your property value is non-taxed. Matter of fact, sometimes you get a check in the mail the first of the year because of the Homestead Act.
Republican
state.
Right.
But, you know, I asked this question. You know, really, I try to help young people get into fields where they don't have to be working for minimum wage. And also talk to young, inspiring business people about the type of businesses that they should be getting into. But, you know, if you champion minimum wage, I don't understand that. Here it is 2018 and people are still championing. How is it that so many young the people that the gentleman was talking about ended up in minimum wage jobs? That's ridiculous. Down here in Baton Rouge, I see a lot of black young people, and I think they're just doing it because they're in college, working the cash registers. But those that's coming through the lines with their buggies full of food is Latino, Mexican, and you have a few blacks and a few whites. So I don't get that. But as far as the voting is concerned, you know, people are going to vote their interest. And you have African-Americans that vote Republicans because they're voting their interest. When
right.
Freeman Bosley was running, I know myself, my company, and some other black companies sat out and told him what it is that they wanted once he became mayor. Burgess Jones, too. And they
right.
supported financially their campaign. And when they got elected, they did do the things that they was instructed to do. But too much generally, you vote for these candidates, like you said, and somebody else. You know, you can vote who you want to put in office, and I, a business person, would come in and just buy them out from underneath us. That's the way
right.
it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to
right.
recognize
that. Right. Agreed. Now, that is true. And as far as the minimum wage thing, I hear what you're saying, but there could be a number of reasons why, you know, grown people are working minimum wage jobs. You know, it could be the lack of education, lack of opportunities, and some people just, you know, just may have had some hard breaks because
yeah,
in a perfect society, you know, those minimum wage jobs and cash register jobs, all these jobs, McDonald's, those are supposed to be for, you know, high school, college students coming up trying to earn a little money while they, you know, get their education and do what they do. But now, based on how the economy has been going, you walk into McDonald's, you're liable to see somebody working there that's 30, 40, maybe 50, you know, working these fast food jobs based on, you know, how the economy and things have been going in that respect. You know what I'm saying? So we have to get back to, you know, those jobs should be primarily for, like I say, high school kids and college students. And then you move on to something bigger and better, ideally. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Forbes magazine, Forbes.com, has a list of 21 careers that's going to be in the dustpan in, you know, in the next few years. And you got everything from fast food workers, agriculture workers. You got, of course, you know, I went into, did I tell you I went into that Krispy Kreme donuts there on 270 in West Florida? I bought six donuts. I had a taste for those lemon-filled donuts. You know how much those six donuts cost me? $8.59.
Right.
Well, who in the heck can afford that?
Right. All right.
We only had two people working in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are definitely things that we need to look at. I thank you for the call, caller. We want to get to some other callers, get them opportunity to.
I might jump back in there with some information, so I'll put myself on mute.
All right. We appreciate you, caller. Thank you. Let's go to another call.
Thanks a lot, caller. Okay, let's take area code 904-365. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment, and it's regarding politics. But my question is, are you guys very knowledgeable in the subject?
What's the question?
That's my question.
Oh. And
before I really ask my question, I just need to know if I know I'm talking to people that know what he's talking about. That's all.
Right. And I consider myself, let's say, not more knowledgeable than the average, but, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I think I do have some knowledge when it comes to politics.
Okay, fair enough. So my question, my actual question is, with Stacey Abrams in Georgia, and she's trying to make her election go to a runoff. But let me ask you something.
Right.
Is that possible? Because I'm looking at her poll numbers, and I'm looking at Brian Kemp's numbers. I just don't see no way on earth that could go to a runoff. Because she's 68,000 votes down from him. And the counties, the counties that, okay, because I know they're counting, I know they're right now they're in the process of counting the mail ballots, but the counties that, they're relying on, they lean heavily red. I just don't see how she's going to, I just don't see it happening. I mean, my question is to y'all, is she really just wasting everybody's time, or should she just stay in and not concede?
Gotcha. Now, in my opinion, I honestly, because I looked at what you just said, I looked at the districts too, and I think it probably is a waste of time at this point. Because, like you said, a lot of the mail ballots and a lot of the votes that have not been counted, absentee or what have you. Besides Atlanta, Georgia is a pretty rural,
Georgia's
red,
pretty much red. Besides Atlanta,
yeah,
yep.
Besides Atlanta, exactly.
Yeah,
and so that's what we have to look at. So I think it is a waste of time. I think she's putting up a fight.
She might as well just drop out. It's good, but it's wasting time.
It's not effective.
No. And I believe it's the same thing with Andrew Gillum.
Yeah, I would say this, because I'm in Florida. with Bill Nelson and Rick Scott, there is a chance Bill Nelson can still win. I doubt it. But with Andrew Gillum
right.
and Ron DeSantis, that ain't gonna happen. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people down. There's a lot of people where I'm from because a lot of them are Democrats. They're really hopeful
mm-hmm.
that some type of miracle is gonna happen, but the numbers just ain't there. Because even if they count all of Broward County, that is not gonna push him to the margin of victory.
Right.
I mean, it's gonna make him a little bit closer. But that's just not going to push him to the margin of victory. He's another one that might as well really just drop out as well. Concede.
Right. And he did. Remember, he did concede the night of the elections, and then he withdrew it.
Right.
Just for the listeners, they're doing a count off for the governor race, and also there was a Senate race in Florida, too. Is that correct, Colin?
Yes, they're doing a count. The three major races they're doing a count off for, that's the governor, the Senate, and the Commission of Agriculture.
Thank you. Okay, gotcha. Okay, good. Yeah. So
and it looks
like
Andrew Gillum, I think by Friday we should know, because with him, he's not close enough for them to do a hand recount. The only type of recount they're gonna do for him is a machine recount as versus Rick Scott and Bill Nelson, they're going to do a machine
mm-hmm.
recount for them and a hand recount for them because it's way too close. But with him and Ron DeSantis, they're just going to do a machine recount, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to take it. But you never know. Maybe something might happen. You just never know. But I'm just leaning towards the idea of it ain't going to happen. So he might as well just concede as well. Go ahead.
Are you a Democrat or a Republican yourself?
Oh, I'm an independent.
Okay.
There you go.
You look at the numbers, it's just not there for them. I'm not wishing that they fail. It's just the numbers just not there for them. I know with Andrew Gillum and Ron DeSantis, it's way more closer than Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp. I know with Ron DeSantis and Andrew Gillum, it's way more closer. But my argument is, even if they tally up all the votes and they're for mm-hmm. Andrew Gillum, he's just not gonna win it. Because the best thing that's gonna close is probably a good 3,000. He'll probably be a good 2,000 points, a little bit closer. That's about it.
Right, indeed. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for the call. Now, I do want to touch on something too, because I think because there were a lot of let's say social media influencers in black society who were telling people not to vote. And I think that was a strategic move in the sense that if the black vote was galvanized in Georgia and in Florida, I think they could have won. You see what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
because there was no black agenda on the table, I think a lot of people fell back and was like, well, I'm just not going to vote. Or if I do vote, I just won't, put my hat in for those large elections. For the national election, I'll vote locally and just leave it blank because, they don't have a black agenda on the table. And I think that was
mm-hmm.
a very strategic move for black people to kind of sit back, because there's power in not voting if you're making a stance like, look, I'm not going to vote unless you present something for the people or for this particular base. So I
mm-hmm.
think that was very strategic. And I think if the black people were galvanized and everybody was on board, they could have won seeing how close they were.
Mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? The young people could have came out and, in Florida and Georgia, and I think they possibly could have tipped the scale and possibly won if, the base was there and they had a black agenda and everybody was like, okay, this is what we're doing.
My thing is, even, because I'm not in none of those states, and I understand why we care and why we're looking at those two races, but my thing is, if they do, what are they issues? Why do we really care whether they win or lose? I'm just not to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny, but if you're in Missouri, any other state,
what is it to you? Who wins and loses? Is it just the fact that they're black or white, or what are the issues? I would like to hear somebody tell us more of the issues that they really support in those two candidates, or is it just because they're black?
Right, exactly. That would be my question too, bro. You want to go? We got another call line. You can go to the call line.
Okay, we go to the call line. Okay, area code 314-616. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio? Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Peace, everybody. How's it going?
Hey,
peace. How you doing, Carl?
Hey, Carl.
Hey, I know it's been a while. I don't know what the specific topic of the discussion is, but I'm guessing it's related to politics, right?
Yeah. The midterm elections. Who won? And, you know, how did they affect you? Any of these propositions affect you? Any of the legalized marijuana? The wage increase, the Senate race, any of them affecting you?
I'll tell you, I'm looking at the aftermath of who won and who lost or whatever. Ultimately, white supremacy wins the election because I'm looking at the way that we're feuding at each other for those of us that chose not to vote versus those of us that chose to vote or whatever the situation may be. And I think that what black people have to learn is two things. It's not about who you're voting for, but who you're funding. And you are the minority in a world that does not like you. So even when they're voting, and Brother Kev, you brought up an excellent point that I never heard anybody talk about. When they're saying that they're creating these jobs, they're loosely putting language out there. They never talk about jobs for you. Even when they say minority jobs, when you just think of what minority is, there are other groups that are included with you. So when it's all said and done, you make up 5% of the MGM or whatever else is being built because you're too afraid to go in those rooms and say, hey, listen, I'm not here for Asians and LGBT. I want to know what you're going to do for black people and black people only. So until we raise that kind of awareness and gain that kind of courage and be willing to put that Jordan money up and Gucci and Versace and put it into the hands of these politicians that we believe can do something for us. But personally, I take the stance of the Jewish and the Asian community. I'm willing to do away with it all because until you put reparations on the ballot and white supremacy, we have no discussion at all. And that's just my position. I respect everybody else's views, but when you begin to put something serious on there, because, you know, reparations, that has to be the number one thing, even though, you know, without proper financial education, you're going to give it all back to them anyway. But, you know, without that, everyone that has come to this country, Jews, the Japanese, Native Americans, have received reparations for us. And your favorite Negro athlete, rapper, entertainer, politician, all the ones that are telling you get out here and vote, 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 they never talk about that. So why is that?
Yep, exactly. And now, because I'm glad you said that, because I'm looking at a lot of these entertainers and rappers with a side eye, because you're trying to galvanize the people as far as these national elections to go out and vote. For what? You see what I'm saying? I'm like, for what? You got these campaigns, you got people posting. Beyonce wore the hat for Beto in Texas to get the Senate seat from Ted Cruz. He ended up losing. LeBron was on the Beto kick. You had T.I. in Atlanta caping for Stacey Abrams. You had Diddy in Florida caping for Andrew Gillum, DJ Khaled. All these people, I'm looking at them with a side eye because what are we voting for? And you people are in a position where you should be letting the people know because you're influencers, unless you have a vested interest in the people remaining ignorant and you getting your buddy in office and he's going to do something specifically for you. You see what I'm saying? That's what we have to really pay attention to. Are these people, you know, for the people, or are they just getting these people in office so they can do something specifically for them? You see? And I think a lot of these rappers and entertainers, they do have a vested interest in the masses of black people remaining ignorant of the fact. We need a black agenda.
And to add some else to that, that's the distraction from a black agenda. All that entertainment and star power That's just a distraction from a black agenda.
Exactly. So, so now, well, I want to take y'all down memory lane real quick, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to get to the call lines. If you're just joining us, call us. We are talking about the midterm elections. We're doing a recap. We're talking about voting, politics, election. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Because remember what they say, insanity is thank you, caller, for the call, too. Stay on the line. Thank you for your comment. And thank you. But let's go down memory lane, because they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Now, because I'm going to take this to the national election, we remember back in 2000, because I've been heavily involved in, let's just say, national politics since I've been able to vote and I've been paying attention. But at some point, I started to wake up. So in 2000, if we remember right, we had George W. Bush running against Al Gore. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, but during that election, it was very close. And there was voter fraud in Ohio. There was a lot of foul things going on in Florida. And I specifically remember, even downtown St. Louis, there were some things going on. People was fighting. Like, it was a real hectic time. I don't know if people remember, because everybody was like, George Bush, who was coming off the governorship of Texas, he had executed so many people in Texas throughout his terms than they did in the entire history of the state. So a lot of black people was galvanized, like, look, we don't want this man to get in office. But they ended up stealing the election, and Al Gore was the one who shut down the Democrats in the Senate, because he was a senator at the time when he was running. So that's when I kind of started looking like, okay, the game may be a little rigged. And then we went to 2004. It was George Bush versus John Kerry. Now, remember, this time, Diddy came out with the voter die deal. You dig what I'm saying? This one, Diddy came out with the voter die T-shirt. We got to come out. We got to get George W. Bush out of office. Vote for John Kerry, this and that. And George Bush ended up winning, of course. You see? And that was, like I say, that was a big fail for Diddy on that tip, because your guy did not win. Now, at this point, I'm kind of losing faith in the system as far as the national elections. 2008 roll around. Obama pop up out of nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? And I'm like, okay, this is the guy. We back. Everything is good. Obama's in office. Black man, black wife, two beautiful black kids. It's about to be on, you know. And I think for Obama, what it did for black people, it got us, because I think after George Bush got in office, we was kind of losing faith in the system. But Obama kind of brought us back. And everybody was on board again, including myself. Because when he won, there was a big party in the street. You know what I'm saying? And then you got black people back involved in the process. 2012, when he got the reelection, gun sales went up. You see what I'm saying? We got to keep this in mind. Gun sales went up, and white men thought they were losing the country. Gun sales went up. They started mobilizing. You know, the Tea Party was founded under Obama, and these right-wing people, they birthed, they were talking about he wasn't a citizen. All these things were going on because the white constituents or the white people in Middle America thought they were losing the country because a black man was in office, and they kind of withdrew from the whole process, okay? But now, in order to get them back, who did they give us after Obama? They gave us Trump. And Trump, Trump was to restore and to give white people the hope that, no, your country's not gone. You got somebody that's in there fighting for you. And then black people were getting scared
and voted for who was Trump running against? He was running against Hillary. And
Hillary.
They tried to do the whole fear-mongering thing. You need to vote for Hillary. If you get Trump in office, he goes do this and do that. So what I've been seeing is there's been these games played back and forth. So you get, you know, one party in for 8 years, and you get another party in for eight, and just kind of go back and forth and give the people the illusion that you're getting relief, when really in black society everything stays the same.
Stays the same.
So I think, yeah, as far as us, it's time for us to get wiser, get smarter, and understand that as far as these national elections, these national politics, they don't have any type of interest in improving our situation, and that's going to be up to us to do that and take a black agenda to them to hold these national people accountable. You dig what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I just wanted to do that to go back as far as the politics and how they kind of play the game. They'll give you an answer. They'll give you a boogeyman, and they give you the answer to the boogeyman, and they give you another boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of back and forth that we have to be aware and conscious of, you know, these games that are being played. So, you know, I'll let y'all respond.
Exactly. Good information. Good information.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with you. It's just a dog and pony show, like the dog chasing the tail around. But I agree 100% with how you say you put the so-called good guy in office for a couple
there
years.
There
then you become the so-called bad guy.
Back and forth.
So, yeah, I 100% agree with that. But we still got a call on, Sister Rogers.
So let's get to the call lines. Take area code 315-767. Caller, you on with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment?
No, I think I'm just going to continue listening today.
All right. Indeed. We appreciate you, caller. We appreciate it. Now, here's another thing that I want to touch on real quick. You know, when we talk about the black agenda. Okay, now trust me, there are a lot, way more smarter people than me that can present a black agenda and come up with something that we need in our community. But just me, you know, living, you know, working, paying taxes, all this and that, just off the top of my head, you know, I can think of a few things just on the surface, but there are so many needs in our community that can be addressed. It's like the list is endless. Like, where do you want to start? You know what I'm saying? So these people be like, well, where's the black agenda? Ain't nobody presented a black agenda. Well, we have politicians and smart people and intelligentsia and think tanks. These people are able to come up with an agenda based on the issues that we have in our community. So for me, I just wrote down some things just off the top of my head. You know, one of the things that we can present is allocating some type of funds for black businesses. We need to, you know, make an incentive for people to start businesses in our community. That's one thing we can do because a lot of other groups have done that. We can even go as far as some land grants, right? Because like I said, we are the descendants of people who were enslaved, people who had to go against Jim Crow, segregation. We couldn't read, so on. It was illegal for us to read, so on and so forth. So these things can be put on the table. Like I say, land grants, because what? The Indians got land grants. There were, I believe, some Japanese after World War II or whatever, they got some land grants and funding for their communities. So these are things we can ask for. We can also push to punish these police that are killing us in our community with impunity. You see, that's something that's specific. How about, hey, if you discharge your weapon or shoot an unarmed person, you know, you're fired. Or you don't get paid leave, you don't get a desk job. Like, these things, we need to start punishing these people because, look, this is what Malcolm X said, and we should keep this in mind. If the highest crime rate is in the black community,
And we know that the black community is the most police community. That means one or two things. Either the police are incompetent or the police are in cahoots with the criminals. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to say that one more time. If the black community has the highest crime rate according to the numbers, and we know that the police or the black community is policed the most, there's one or two things going on. Either the police are very incompetent and do not know how to stop crime, or the police are in cahoots with the criminals. Because I live in a so-called black community or the hood, whatever you want to call it. Most of the people and my neighbors, we just trying to live, work, provide a better life for our families. We don't want the criminals in our neighborhoods either. So what is going on? You know what I'm saying? Are the police working with the criminals, or are they just so incompetent that they don't know how to shut down crime? And I believe that if they really wanted to, they could easily shut down crime in our community. But I think as long as it's sectioned off in our neighborhoods and it doesn't spill out into the burbs or to Ladue, West County, or what have you, to these white enclaves, it's fine. You know, we'll just let them continue to kill each other and do these things because it's fine. We'll just keep it contained over here. You see what I'm saying? So
obviously, they're working with the criminals.
This is what I'm thinking.
I'm not talking about the criminals in the neighborhood. I'm talking about the criminals that's outside of our neighborhood that they are working with.
That too. You see, and we can get, you know, there can be specific tax breaks for black people. You see what I'm saying? These are things that we can present and take to the table and not be scared and look these people in their eyes and say, look, no, I'm not afraid to say black. You know, I'm not afraid to say we need some type of compensation for slavery. But see, a lot of black folks get neutralized because only thing they got to say is, well, what about black on black crime? You know, that was long ago. You need to get over it. No, bro, no, we're not doing that. You know, we got to stand firm, and we cannot be neutralized by these terms that they put out. Talking about black-on-black crime, which is a misnomer in itself, because crime is crime. And, of course, people commit crimes where they live for the most part. So don't run that black-on-black crime game on me. You dig what I'm saying? Because, like I say, most of the neighbors and people that I know, they're just trying to live, survive, and provide a better quality of life for their family. So most black people are not criminals. And crime is not synonymous with black people. Black people do not have a monopoly on crime. So don't run that game. You know, don't run that game on me. You dig what I'm saying? There's plenty of black people, because they talk about, another thing they say is, well, we got criminal justice reform, which that's a vague term. What does that even mean? But what about the black people that's not criminals? You dig what I'm saying? You telling me I got to be a criminal to get some type of benefit? No. Crime is not synonymous with being black. You dig what I'm saying? Don't run that game on me. You dig? And we got to be able to talk to these people and let them know that, hey, again, we need something specifically for black people. But see, what I think, and I don't want to be too long, I'll let y'all get in. What I think it will happen is, we'll see their true colors, because when we present that black agenda, even to these Democrats and bleeding heart so-called liberals, when we present a black agenda, then they go perk up like, oh, wait, whoa, we don't want to do too much for you guys. Wait a minute. What about Chicago? What about black on black crime? They go start coming with these excuses of why they don't want to help our communities. But at least we have it on record, and we have it, you know, at least we presented it to them, and we know where they stand. Because I know anything that's going to really empower black people, the Democrats ain't going to be with it. Even though they pretend they are friends, and, you know, they come and dance with us, come to our churches, and, you know, go to our restaurants and order beef ribs and chitlins or whatever they're eating over there, we know that when it get down to the get down, they don't really want to empower black people. They would rather keep black people dependent and weak and on the system, you know, with these entitlement programs or whatever they talk about, you know, these type of things. So we at least have to put that agenda forth and at least present it to them and put the ball in their court and let them
respond. It is what it is.
You see what I'm saying? But I don't want to go too long. I'm going to let y'all get in there and, you know, and see what's going on. But if you're just joining us, family, we're down to the last half hour. We have been talking about the midterm elections, voting, you know, a black agenda, just black folks, a black society in general, and how do we improve and move forward if we're going to participate in the voting process? How do we move forward and how do we do those things? Okay. Yeah, Brother Mufasa did. Now you heard what I put out as far as a black agenda. Did you have any of those things on your list, or would you like to share, you know, maybe one or two things that you think would be, you know, part of the, you know, quote unquote black agenda?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, I'll wait till another time to tell you exactly what's on my list for a black agenda. But I will read, but since you inspired me to read you something, I'm going to read this to you based off of that you just said.
Okay.
Now, this is in Elijah Muhammad's book, The Fall of America, Chapter 8, The National Election. You may have read that before, but I'm going to read it too before I call
you
and everybody listening.
Yep.
The National Election. The black man of America has been privileged by the slave master's children for the last century to vote for whites, for the offices to judge and rule. This freedom to vote has made the black man in America feel very dignified and proud of himself. He goes to the polls very happy to vote for a white ruler. Today he is gradually changing to a desire to vote for his own kind for such offices of authority. We must remember that our vote is strong and powerful only when and where the white man can use it to get in office over his white opponent. After the election and the victory, there are very few favors that come from his office to the black voters who helped and aided him in getting in the office. Why is that? Because he does not owe the black voter anything as long as he has to feed, clothe, and shelter him. The black vote could be cast or not cast. The white citizens of the government are going to win and continue to rule anyway. There is much talk of this man and that man who shall the vote of the people put in the White House for the next 4 years. How much good have the two parties, Republican and Democrat, done for us the last century in the way of freedom, justice, and equality?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what party wins, the die is always set against us, the black people in America. Injustice, crooked politics, and the breeding of corruption under crooked politics have been practiced ever since Adam to the present day rulers. Adam was the first crook. There has been justice for the black man in this race of people, and this is why, there has not been justice for the black man in this race of people, and this is why the race suffers from the effect of chaos today. There are black politicians who would like to use their black people for selfish greed and will throw them behind any crook with money. Black politicians of this type have sold their black brothers to suffering and shame for self-evaluation with the crook. This election is one of the most serious in history of American government because either party that seeks the office of presidency is faced with the problem of saving the lives of the people of America. We've got a little bit more here. If the present party, Democrat, remains in office, you know the answer. If the Republican Party takes over, you should know the answer. There will be a lull before the storm. The storm can be delayed, and every hour and day that it can be delayed is to your benefit. The black man should be very serious and careful about his voting because 90% of the black votes cast are cast by ones who do not have the knowledge of what they are casting their vote for. I still say, and this is in the words of Elijah Muhammad, I still say, as I have said for many years, vote for God to be your ruler and come follow me. So with all that being said, with all that being said, I would like to turn the tide back real quick to something else that was on our local Missouri election, which was that medical marijuana.
Okay.
So check this out. This was in the Post-Dispatch. It said, what's next for Missourians who want medical marijuana? I ain't going to read all this. Missouri is now among 33 states that have legalized medical marijuana, with 65% of the voters on Tuesday passing a measure allowing those with qualifying medical conditions to buy the drug here. What are y'all thoughts on this medical marijuana stuff? Is that a win for people? A bad thing for people? What's y'all thoughts on this? Or is it just another distraction?
Right. Ryzen, you want to go?
Well, for me, it can be, you know, like anything. It can be used for a good thing. It can be used for a bad thing. You know, sometimes people can abuse things. So that's why it says too much of anything is, you know, can be bad. So it just depends on the individual, the state of mind that they're in, their, you know, what their agenda is. So it can be good for a person that is legitimately suffering from some things and really need some relief, the things that it's supposed to help you with. So if a person legitimately needs those things, then that's fine. You know, if you're a person that wants to abuse the situation, and you know, then it can be, you know, it can be bad. You know, so and it just falls back onto the individual.
See, I got mixed feelings with it because I'm looking at it like that's another way for the government to hit you with something. You know, they could put, but with the medical marijuana, you know, we've had talks about this before. When they got all these different types of weed that, you know, all these different strains that can do this, take care of this, that, to me, that lets me know that you are, man, is tampering with things. And I don't trust that people is in these pharmacies or whatever laboratories they're in tampering with this medical marijuana. Now, as far as the one thing I do like that came out of it is that they said that people will now be allowed, the individual person will be allowed to grow their own plants, up to 4 plants. Now, on that, I don't have a problem with it. You know, but I really don't trust the medical marijuana industry. Who's regulating that stuff? We don't know what they're spraying on that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if I
could
throw me a couple of seeds in a pot and grow my own natural weed, okay, I'm with that. I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with exactly what you said.
Then you're going to have to start worrying about the seeds, where you're getting the seeds from, and if the seeds are not tampered with.
You just collect your own seeds. You know, as you grow your seeds that collect out of your own growth, you just keep your own seeds. Yeah, don't go nowhere.
Right, I realize that, but I mean, I bet that first seed you got to get, though, it's like, you know. But, I mean, it's just conversation, just something to, you know, to consider and think about, you know. Since we are discussing it, you know, I like to try to cover all bases.
What about that tax money? Y'all know anything about that? Because you know they're going to tax it. And I can't think right now where that revenue is going to. It's slipping my mind. You know where it's going, Brother Fish? It was like 4% on it.
No, I don't. Because, see, now I don't trust when they say the revenue is going somewhere. Because remember, before they legalized or they got the casinos and boats here in Missouri, they said that money would go towards the public schools.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't tell. I can't either, bro. It's going to go towards education and this and that, and I can't tell. So I think they pulled a fast one on that one. And whether they'll do that with this medical marijuana as far as the revenue, I'm not sure. Yeah. They could say it's going anywhere, and, you know, they could be greasing their pockets. You know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, what you read from Elijah Muhammad, man, that was just so profound because I don't know when he wrote that, but let's say it was before 1970. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, here we are 48 years later, almost 50 years later, you know, and it's still the same, like that still applies today. That's the same thing today. So that's what I'm saying as far as what we have to do as far as the people. We have to be more analytical. We have to pay more attention. We cannot be fooled by the facade of Americana and all these shiny things. And we really have to pay attention to the situation that we're in because, again, we're going on 50 years later, and they're still running the same game. So at what point do we – you know, as a group, wake up and say, no, 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 y'all not going to keep running this game on us. We need specific benefits for us. We need this, we need that, and we can't fall for the black politician that they put in front of us thinking all skin folk are kinfolk. You see what I'm saying? We can't fall for that because the white liberals and white Republicans or conservatives are be pushing these black folks forward so they can stand behind them. And these black people are, at the end of the day, working for the white liberals and the white conservatives. And they don't have the people's best interest in mind. You see what I'm saying? So we got to pay attention, again, be more logical, be more analytical, pay attention to the things, not get too fooled by the words that they use and the language. We got to get hip to the language and the words that they use because a lot of it is trignology. You know what I'm saying? People of color, urban, poor people, minorities, all these things. They're talking about black people, but at the end of the day, if they don't say black people, then other groups can benefit from those particular bills when they use that language. And like I said, we got to put something specifically in there for us and don't compromise and be unapologetic about what we're asking for and the needs that we have in our community. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
that was just profound, man. That was profound.
You know, Brother Kerr, the reason why that's still relevant of what he said, what he wrote. And I ain't trying to sound spooky or into some spookism stuff, but I'm just kicking it real. Take it or leave it. That's because he's a divine messenger. He's a divine messenger of God.
This is fact.
You know, the divine messenger of the Creator. And until black people wake up and start listening and realize that we had a messenger that came to us in the person of Elijah, then we're going to continue to go through the same stuff. It's going to be 2055. We're still going to be talking about this same thing because we're not listening to the messenger that was sent here to black people in North America.
Yeah, that's right. And now to your point, see, what we do is we allow these outsiders to control the narrative of our people. You see, like they're trying to do now, they're trying to demonize the minister, Farrakhan, who is telling us the right thing to do. And you got Negroes who go sit up in here and try to denounce the minister, you know, for whatever reason, because they listening to white mommy and daddy tell them, oh, the minister's bad, he's anti-Semitic, this and that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, come on, y'all.
That was slick, man.
You know what I'm saying? When do we control the narrative of our own people who have got our back, who have spoken on our behalf to the public and to the people? These people are on our side, but you're going to let the white media tell you they're not? See, this is what I'm saying. Like, we cannot continue to keep making these same mistakes And I feel like at this point in time, we are at a beautiful time. It is crucial, and black people are making a decision whether we're going to go right or left, meaning are we going to continue to fall for the same tricks, or we are going to create our own way and get hip to the plan and empower ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And that's the point where we're at this time. I feel like with these midterms, like I say, the conversation was beautiful. You know, I think it was healthy. And I think we're
Hey, you should share that
What's
real
that?
Quick with, you know, what you said about the Honorable Minister Farrakhan. Share what happened to him in Iran. Share how the media tried to use their technology on that situation. Go ahead, I'll let you go ahead and let the people know what happened.
Yeah, we got like 10 minutes left. So the Minister Farrakhan made a trip to Iran. You know, he did a few speeches, met with the governing bodies over there. And Fox News put out a story saying that he led a chant saying death to America. And they actually published this on their website and put it out there. Number one, that is very dangerous. Number two, it was an outright lie.
Yes, indeed.
You see what I'm saying? But for them to put that out there, that just shows, you know, the negligence and the wickedness of the media that we're dealing with, because they just put out a bold-faced, blatant lie. And we don't know how many people believe that and ran with it. You know what I'm saying?
And when the minister went back on air in Iran to clear it up,
right?
None of that got posted on Fox News. They didn't post that
right.
when he went on there and cleared up and said that he did not say that.
They did not air that either. And I think, remember, there was another clip where they sent a journalist there to ask him about to say it or something, and the minister shut him down real quick. It's like, come on, dude. Somebody sent you there as an agent to stir up some stuff. And you just want to put this out there. So we got to be careful. We got to protect our leaders, because they are, you know, they're trying to make it seem like he's anti-Semitic, which they've been doing that for years. But now with this Women's March, I think there's a sister named Tamika Mallory who's ahead of this Women's March that's supposed to be coming up. And this actor, what's her name? What's the lady name? She's an actor, some actor that came out, white lady actor. She said she's not going to participate in this Women's March until this young lady, Tamika Mallory, who organized it, until she denounces the minister. And Tamika Mallory has had pictures with the minister. They've asked her to denounce the minister before, and she declined. So now what we're going to see is they're going to come out and call out these black celebrities and see which ones are going to denounce the minister and which ones are going to stand by him. You see what I'm saying? So we got to be mindful of that. We got to protect our people who have stood up and spoken up for black people for years, and not allow, you know, these racist white supremacists to have us denounce the minister when we know that he's been doing the right thing by black folks and speaking up for black people internationally.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying?
That's right.
We're talking worldwide. This man travels the world speaking up for the black people in America. So, no, we're not going to have that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have that. So,
right.
You just got to
keep
that in mind.
I'm going to sum up my, because I know we're getting to the close. Let me sum up my outlook on this whole talk. I mean, these last two paragraphs, and I'm going to read you something that came out, a message to the black man in America.
Yes, sir.
It says, and this is out the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, "It is difficult for me to advise my followers on taking part in the corrupt politics of our enemies who are in complete control of the political affairs. There are many black men and women who make splendid politicians. They could accomplish considerable good if they, like the white politician and his people, were given proper and equal recognition and justice for themselves and their people. If our politicians are to serve us, remember this, people, if our politicians are to serve us, they must have no fear of the white man when they plead our case in the white court before white judges.
So
keep that on your mind when you voting for a politician. If you black in America.
Yes, no fear. That is very key. No fear, no fear, no fear when we talk to these people because, like I said, we're going to find out. And I'm going to make this real quick. When black people stand up for themselves, we're going to find out that a lot of times these people go fold. They go retreat. See, the only thing been going on is we haven't been standing up and haven't been bold and fighting back. But when we fight back, meaning when we present our agenda and stand on it, be unapologetic, these people will fold to our demands because they know what's right. And we got to believe in ourselves, and we got to believe that we're doing the right thing for us and by our people. You see what I'm saying? In closing, it looks like we're coming down the last 5 minutes. Thank you to all the supporters, listeners, and callers. Everybody that chimed in, Collective Minds, thank you. This is Brother Kev, Brother Mufasa Ra, and Elijah Shaw. I let you all know that I'm here. Thank you, everybody. This has been a great show. Make sure y'all join us next week and follow us on all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Make sure y'all look us up. We out there. So
Collective Minds.
We appreciate y'all.
At all
Collective
the
Minds Radio.
And if you got any questions, send it to us. You can instant message us on Instagram or email us at www.collectiveminds@yahoo.com. But, hey, we look at all your messages, so send them to us on Instagram, Facebook, or email us. You know, we'll take questions. So we might even want to throw up one of y'all. Give us some suggestions on the show topic.
That's right. That's right. It's Collective Minds, y'all. So we ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think, baby.
Woo.
Get it. Yep. So here we go. Elijah, you want to send us out with some words?
I was going to say it was another good show. Looking forward to next week. Thanks for supporting us and tuning in and following us. So just keep following us. Follow us on Instagram so you can keep updated with our upcoming shows and special guests and different things that we have coming up, and that's it. See you next week.
All right, turn on the 15. Bump the system. Let's ride out on it.
Get my song going. Collective Minds.
Collective Minds.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new one, calling with your new one. Compared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things here. We've been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who we been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like